John Thorne is the official historian for Major League Baseball. He has strong feelings about the Star-Spangled Banner.
I think it is a terrible song. It is interesting that a song that is so frequently sung and so frequently sung badly has not aroused more protest against its very existence.
I don't need to remind you that protests during the Star-Spangled Banner have caused a lot of controversy lately. But how did that song come to be played before sporting events in the first place? Only a Game's Gary Wallach has the story.
Johnny, get your gun, get your gun, get your gun.
The 1917 baseball season began 5 days after the United States entered World War I. Fans more inclined to think about the national pastime than about the national crisis, worried about how the military draft would affect major league rosters.
The draft didn't really begin to bite and deplete the rosters until very late in the season.
That's baseball historian Jim Leake, author of From the Dugouts to the Trenches, Baseball During the Great War.
1918 was a different matter.
By spring training, about 76 major leaguers had joined the armed forces. That number would grow to around 250 later in the season.
And every day there were enormous headlines about the fighting in France and the casualties. It was just this bloodbath, this endless meat grinder.
And we won't come back till it's over over there.
The U.S. War Department enacted a work or fight rule, which required males of draft age to join the military or work in a war-related job. It would take effect on Labor Day. Again, MLB historian John Thorne.
The owners shortened the season, and for that reason, the World Series in 1918 begins in September, not October.
A temporary exemption was made for players on the two teams that would play in the World Series.
But after the early World Series, everyone was subject to the worker fight rule.
The Boston Red Sox would face the Chicago Cubs with Game 1 in Chicago. The Red Sox roster was so depleted that the team wondered if it could even compete with the Cubs. Jim Leake says the Cubs had concerns of their own.
They had traded for Grover Cleveland Alexander before the season. And Alexander only pitched 3 games before he ended up in the service.
Not long ago, a World Series matchup between the Cubs and Red Sox would have been the most hyped and highly anticipated sporting event in U.S. history. But in 1918?
There wasn't really that much excitement about the 1918 World Series. There just wasn't much excitement about it at all.
Contributing to the mass ambivalence was the growing list of war dead printed in daily newspapers. On September 4th, the day the World Series was scheduled to begin, Pittsburgh Pirates prospect and Army aviator Marcus Milligan died after a training exercise crash. He was just 22, and there were violent anti-war protests, according to historian Mark Ferris.
There had been a bombing of the federal building in Chicago the day before. Probably anarchists.
After a rainout, Game 1 of the 1918 World Series began on September 5th, 100 years ago next week. Cubs ace Hippo Vaughn took the mound against Red Sox starter Babe Ruth. Again, John Thorne.
You would think that this pitching matchup would stir great anticipation, bordering on frenzy. But no, all the press accounts indicated that the crowd was sitting on its hands.
Jim Leake.
They were paying more attention during the game to a group of Army biplanes doing stunts near the park than they really were to the game.
The crowd of just over 19,000 was unimpressed as Vaughn and Ruth engaged in one of the greatest pitching duels of all time. Mark Ferris recalls the words of a New York Times reporter who was at the game.
He said that the crowd was yawning until the Star-Spangled Banner is spontaneously played by the Naval Training School Band during the seventh inning stretch.
It's important to note that the song was not yet the official national anthem, although most Americans were familiar with it. But this was a newly arranged version.
It had been rejiggered by John Philip Sousa. It was now more suitable for a larger band, and the crowd seemed surprised by it.
And the civilian ball players all took off their cap and faced the flag, but the Red Sox third baseman was an active duty sailor, Fred Thomas, he had furlough from the Great Lakes Training Station near Chicago to play in the series. And since he was active military, he kept his cap on, he faced the flag, and he snapped off a military salute. And the fans noticed that. And a few fans began singing along with the Star Spangled Banner. And soon, the entire park was singing along. It was just this wonderful, spontaneous moment.
And by the end, everyone was tossing their caps and celebrating, with the exception of Fred Thomas. He left his cap on and saluted.
The Red Sox won the game 1-0 behind Ruth's stellar pitching and first baseman Stuffy McGinnis's fourth-inning RBI single. Some have suggested that it was the greatest baseball game of all time. But it was the Star-Spangled Banner and Fred Thomas's gesture that had energized the war-weary crowd. The Navy Band played the banner again during games 2 and 3 in Chicago. The song was also played during games 4, 5, and 6 amid an atmosphere of patriotism at Fenway.
There were wounded troops in the park. People did cheer them spontaneously. People gave them seats. People helped them to the seats or carried them to the seats if they had to.
Boston won the series 4-2, but the Star-Spangled Banner may have been the bigger winner. Since 1862, the song had been played during baseball games, usually on opening day, Memorial Day, or July 4th. But now...
something happened. I don't know how to explain it beyond that. I mean, there are certain events that just take on a life of their own that you can't really explain why. And I think that was probably one of them. And people noticed and remembered.
After 1918, the Star-Spangled Banner would be played at every World Series game. In 1931, it became the official U.S. national anthem. Sometime during World War II, all but one major league club began playing it before every game. The Cubs were the lone holdout for over 20 years. But Jim Leake, a Navy veteran, thinks the song has lost something over the last century.
In 1918, it was spontaneous. And today, almost nothing about organized sports and the national anthem is spontaneous.
John Thorne agrees.
The spontaneous display of patriotism in September of 1918 at the World Series has been replaced by the manufactured patriotism, the predictable, mandatory patriotism.
And so we will continue to see, before night games and day games, in all sports at every level, that our national anthem is still there.
That's Only a Game's Gary Wallach. Mark Ferris's book is The Star-Spangled Banner, The Unlikely Story of America's National Anthem.